Hi, this is Dr. Looney, and this is Restoration. This episode is an interview with my friend, David James, surfer dude and real-life action hero.
Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Paul.
What I'd like to hear from you, Dave, first of all, is just how did you get started on this process of recovery and restoration?
That's a real interesting story, but can we pray first? I'm a little bit nervous.
I love that idea. Shall I? Or
I'll go ahead.
Awesome.
Lord God, I just thank you for the opportunity to share my story, and Lord, take away any nervousness I have, and I just ask that whatever, that you give me the words that glorify you and not me, so that you may increase and I may decrease. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Yeah, just tell us a little bit about how you got on this road.
Well, it was pretty obvious that I had that real compulsive, addictive type personality from a very early age. I was just super impulsive. You know, I'd do whatever the next instant gratification thing that jumped in front of me. And, you know, even when I was a teenager and I was would drink and smoke marijuana and stuff, it was like I went way over the deep end. It was like my friends were like, "What's wrong with that guy?" You know. And I had my first introduction to the 12 steps when I was about 22, and I wasn't ready then. I kind of sat in the back of the room with my arms crossed and you know, thought I was different and better and smarter and you know, all that than everyone in the room. And I went out and I got, you know, dumber and older and a lot more willing.
Anybody relate?
I just got to a point to where what I was doing wasn't working. I was just living so selfishly. It was always for me. And I had a lot of church and biblical upbringing, you know, as a kid. But, you know, I could have a lot of head knowledge about that. And I had I thought I had a deep belief, but I just didn't have the ability to follow it practically in my daily life. You know, I was a Sunday morning Christian, you know, and I just got to a point of desperation. It was Father's Day of 1997, and I had drank to a blackout and just pretty much ruined another family occasion, and I just, you know, I was basically close to being suicidal, and
wow.
Just a lot of bleakness and hopelessness, yeah. You know. And, you know, all those plans and hopes that I had, you know, when I was 18 and I thought, oh, this is what I want my life to look like when I'm 25, you know, and I just kept settling for less, and I kept lowering my standards, and I just kept, you know, my, the companionship I hung around, and it just kept, you know, sinking lower and lower. And,
yeah.
You know, all those things I tried to put in my body, you know, alcohol, drugs, pornography, being unfaithfulness, illicit affairs, all that stuff just, it just made me more and more miserable, left me really empty.
So there was a moment in 97
yes.
that you decided enough is enough.
Yes, and I had accepted Christ and been baptized about 13,
mm-hmm.
but I rededicated my life and I just tried to follow God's will in my life, and it definitely hasn't been perfect.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a an amazing thing that God, as we said when we talked about the prodigal son, that God, even when we are a son, we're a child. If we, for whatever reason, want to take what we think is coming to us and head out for a far country to live life on our own terms, God lets us do that. And so even though you made a commitment at the age of 13, you had to be a prodigal son for a while
yeah.
until you finally came to your senses and came back home.
Yeah, for a long time. And, I got desperate enough to come into a 12-step program for alcoholism, and I became real willing and real teachable. I mean, I just, you know, I'd been to meetings before, and I was just like, you know, just show me what to do, tell me what to do, and I became real, real willing. As only the dying can be.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That shift from being self-willed to being willing is such a profound shift, because I think for so many of us, we have to be convinced that we can't do life on our own terms, that it just is not working for us to get to that point where we're like, okay, just tell me what to do. Somebody give me a path to walk.
Yeah, and I always thought that, you know, if I surrendered or if I admitted being broken or, you know, that that was a weakness, that that was, that was being, you know, really kind of a, you know, a wussy, you know, because yeah. I always thought, you know, party like a rock star, you know, that that was cool. And I really had to come to the grips with the fact that, you know, other people lived life without having to anesthetize, you know.
Yeah.
Other people were able to function. And, you know, I just had to really look at that, you know, that I had to anesthetize to fit in.
So you finally got to the point where you're willing to do whatever it took. And you got in a 12-step group, is that right?
That's correct.
And found a sponsor, I guess?
Yes, and actually for about the first month, the service work commitment kept me sober, which was awesome because they had asked me to do, I'm an artist, and they'd asked me to do a bunch of designs for this conference, and all that month I kept thinking, this isn't going to work. I've only been sober 2 weeks. What the heck? And then I thought, well, you know what? I got to show up in a month and show them all this artwork I did. So, you know, that was the first thing was the service work, but then working the steps.
That's a good thing to note, though, that sometimes it's being able to make a difference or having something that we have to get up and go for that can help to keep us on that path. So as you think about your journey through the steps and through the process of recovery, are there some particular moments that you feel were vital or crucial moments for you? Anything that really stands out for you as a turning point?
Yeah, there were a few. One of them was, you know, the first time I went to a step study where we actually showed up with a notebook and a pen and started working the 12 steps. Yeah. And, you know, I think the day that I did my first fifth step and I, you know, I got that confession and I shared all those things. And, you know, I thought I was so unique and so twisted and different than everyone else that instead of sharing my fifth step with my sponsor, I drove 90 miles to go see this priest who specialized in 12-step recovery work. And, you know, it was funny because once I was able to share that with him and really, you know, look at step 6 and 7, I mean, that all that shame and all that terrible things lost their power. Mm. And I drove home from sharing that fifth step with that priest and went and got my sponsor and shared it all with him.
Isn't that great?
You know, so it was just kind of amazing.
Well, I do love how the things that we share lose their power as we share them. And for those of you who are not familiar with the 12 steps, the first three steps really have to do with the first with powerlessness, the second with coming to believe that God can restore our lives to sanity, and the third with that decision to turn our life and will over to his care, to really surrender to him. The fourth step is what we call a fearless moral inventory, in which we really do a real deep soul searching, kind of an inventory of our own lives, our behaviors, our attitudes, kind of a sin inventory, if you will. And then in step 5, you make a confession to God, to yourself, and to another human being, the exact nature of your wrongs. So that's what that fifth step is. And what I find, like you're saying, Dave, is that once you get it out, it rather than alienating you from other people, it begins to connect you because you realize that there is no temptation that you've gone through, no sin that you've done that is not common to man. That's not there's not other people who can go, oh yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, if they've got a name for it, it means somebody else has been doing it already.
Which is both wonderful and terrifying.
You know, in that turn, you know, turning away from self and turning towards God, you know, and turning into the light, that was, you know, that was something I had to do daily, you know, and it was explained to me that my, turn my life and my will over to the care of God is the third step, and turning my life, you know, is my actions, and turning my will is my thinking, you know, my thinking and my actions. So, you know, I'd be driving down the freeway, and I'd start harboring ill feelings and want to cut somebody off, and I'd have to realize, you know, am I turning this thought and this action over to the care of God?
Yeah.
Very unnatural for me.
Yeah, I love your point that it's a daily discipline. It's something that we do daily. We turn from self to our Savior. We turn from that old way of doing life to a new way, which is at first very radically different and strange. But as we turn daily, it becomes more and more a habit and something that becomes more of our new nature or second nature.
Yeah, and that had to be developed over time and habit, you know, Bible reading and, prayer and meditation and, just working through the steps. And I've worked through the steps, several times, at least three or four times, fourth time this time around. And, it's like after 13 years of doing this or a little more than 13 years, I find something new that I'm powerless over all the time.
Yeah.
And it's a journey. It's not just a one time, I came to the step study and I completed it in 26 weeks and I'm fixed. Thank you very much. And I'm out the door, it's something that I just have to continually do because, I'm always reminded that, of brokenness over something new that God brings to my, my consciousness, some sin or some situation in my life that I finally just get so fed up with. I just surrender. God, I can't do this anymore.
Wow. God's desire is to know all of you. And that knowledge is like, really, it's like a journeying into the universe, that there's always a new frontier. And if you have embarked on this journey of self-knowledge and of intimacy with God, it is something that is ever unfolding, ever expanding. And you will always find new heights and discover new depths. Of depravity. We are both wonderful and amazing in the image of God, and we are also full of all sorts of evil possibilities. Anything else that occurs to you that you want to stress to those who might be beginning this journey?
Well, it is a lifelong thing, and it's not a veil of tears. It's not like I have to spend my whole life in 12-step meetings and that's all I do. I've found a great joy in living, and I love John 10:10. And most people know about the abundant part, but the first part of it says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's my disease. That's my sin nature comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and Satan feeding me lies. But, Christ said, I came that you should have life and have it more abundantly. And, to have abundant life, I can remember sitting in 12-step meetings the first time and thinking, well, I can't drink or party anymore. I'm never going to have any more fun. And I really kind of thought that way at first. And, I've developed relationships with my friends and accountability partners and people that I sponsor and my sponsor. And we have a tremendous amount of fun. I just love adventure. I love, I'm on a deer lease with three or four other guys who are in recovery. And it's really cool to get up in the morning, 30 minutes before we need to be out to the stands and do our meditations together, And then, once the hunt's over, we give each other all kinds of, we give each other all kinds of crap, just like, anybody else would, having a good time. I love really the adventurous types of things, surfing and travel.
If you got my email, that I referred it to Dave as a live action figure because because really Dave is one of those guys who loves adventure. He's always looking for the next wave. Last week Karen encouraged us to get off the bank and get in the water. That's where Dave wants to be. He wants to be in the water and finding that next wave to ride. And I love that spirit about you. I think it's really God wants us to sign on for a life of fullness, that abundant life that Dave was talking about. And if you look around this room, these are not boring people. Frankly, you guys are where I want to be. This is as messed up as you are. You're a lot of fun. I think, the thing that I'm learning is that those of us who have come to grips with our brokenness are people who can afford not to take ourselves too seriously. We can afford to be risk-taking. We can afford to be playful and to be adventurous because we know that our life is in the care of a God who will always be there for us. Any other particular thought or verse that you want to refer to that would be a
I really like Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. That's a real easy one to remember because it's 5, 6, 7, 8. You don't have to think about it real hard.
Love that.
But it says, you know, that while we were still powerless, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for us. And that while someone might die for a righteous man, you know, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. You know, yeah. And he knew I was a sinner, and he still loved me enough. You know, he demonstrated his love enough to die despite of my sin. And, you know, I really do just love life and have a zest for it. I mean, I can't wait till Friday because I can buy my Toby Mac and Skillet tickets, you know. And I'm almost, you know, I'll be 47 soon, and I'm going to sit in the front row at Skillet and let them burn my eyebrows off with their pyrotechnic show. But, you know, that kind of stuff to me is just, it's just a blast. And, you know, if you're new in recovery, you know, the fun's just beginning. I don't know where I got the idea that you know, falling down, blacking up, puking on my shoes, and waking up with a hangover was fun anyway, you know.
I love that. Yes, indeed. Well, God has chosen us. And, you know, the thing that I think is that, you know, nothing you have done or going to do is a big shock to God. It's not a big surprise. And when he called you, he already knew what a mess you were going to make of things. He already knew how many times you're going to fall down. But thankfully, we can get back up. And for some of us, it takes several times around the, you know, around the bush. But when we wake up, when we become older and wiser, we can get on that path that leads to true life. Any other last thought, Dave?
Yeah, one of the things that's just been the real joy of working the steps that comes alive, I found, is through sponsoring people. You know, it's just so important for me to pass this thing on, and there is just nothing that brings me more joy and happiness than just investing a few hours in a person's life who's broken but willing. And watching them recover and watching the light go on in their eyes and watching them become good husbands and good fathers and, you know, and men of dignity and integrity. And wow, that just electrifies me. And that to me, you know, if there's any step that's really my favorite right now, it's like 11 and 12. And you know, just really that sponsorship thing is
giving just, back. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, you know, God loves his people, and if you sign on to be there for someone as a sponsor, as an accountability partner, if you're there to provide some sustenance for them along the way, you can be sure that God will give you some fresh bread if you're wanting to pass it on. So the best way to stay fresh in your relationship with God is to be in a place where you're giving out. When I know that I'm going to be up here teaching, it makes me a little more desperate for God, makes me a little bit more persistent with him to get something that has value that can be passed on. And so I really appreciate that encouragement, Dave. And some of you out there, you know who you are. We need you to step up and sponsor. We need you to open your arms and your heart to someone who's a few steps behind you in the process, who needs that support, encouragement, accountability, and love. So thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you're awesome. See, isn't he great? You love this guy? Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's all stand up for the prayer. God, we thank you that we belong to you. And we stand in your honor because you deserve it. None of us deserve honor. None of us deserve adoration. But thank you that you make us worthy of your love and your affection. God, I thank you for Dave's life. I thank you for the testimony that it is of your power to reach us at our deepest and darkest moments, to wake us up to something better than what we can find on our own. And God, I just pray for all of us in this room that as we stand here before you tonight, that we would surrender afresh to your way, to your will. Lord, work in our hearts. Make us willing, as Dave talked about, to do life on your terms and not our own, knowing that you will lead us to a place of abundance, a place of rest, a place of peace and joy, fulfillment, and even an excitement and adventure. God, we surrender to you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.